Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for joining us today. We are almost at the end of February. Where does the time fly? So February is Heart Month, and my guest today is Dr. Joseph Loretti. Good morning, Dr. Loretti.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. And, you know, because our topic is Heart Month, Dr. Loretti is a cardiologist here at Wayne Memorial Physician Specialty Clinic, correct?
That's correct.
So how long have you been with us?
I've been at Wayne Memorial for, it'll be 4 years this coming June.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a cardiologist now, this will be 20 years this coming July.
Wow.
Since I've been out of fellowship training.
Okay. Now, what does a cardiologist do? Because it is different, there's more schooling involved, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so basically a cardiologist has to complete 3 years of internal medicine residency before they can apply for a subspecialty like gastroenterology, cardiology, pulmonary medicine. And then it's another 3 years to subspecialize in general cardiology. And even beyond that, there can even be subspecialization within the field in electrophysiology for 2 more years or interventional cardiology. And now there's even more fields. Some people just strictly go into advanced imaging, advanced cardiac CAT scan, MRI, especially with the new, not new diseases, but diseases that are becoming more more common now, like amyloidosis and sarcoidosis. They've affected the heart for years, but they've been missed in terms of diagnosis, and the advanced imagers are actually picking this up. So there's a lot of, as opposed to a lot of other specialties, cardiology has a lot of fields within the practice that you can actually subspecialize in. So yeah. a lot of training, a lot of schooling.
That's what it sounds like. And that's why I always say I love doing these shows, because I learn so much more about, you know, the medical field overall. I mean, I've been in it for 30 years, but this, as we know, like you were just saying, things always change. It is truly amazing. So, you know, I mean, it is February's Heart Month, although people should be taking care of their heart year-round, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
How important is it for to take care of your heart?
It's very important because, in a sense, you know, I'm not going to sound biased here because I'm a cardiologist, but the heart is probably one of the most important organs because it's pumping blood to the rest of your body, and without that, you can't sustain organ function or bodily function, okay? So it's very important, but one of the biggest problems are a lot of the signs and symptoms of heart disease are very insidious. They don't pop out right away.
Mm.
And a lot of times people end up with advanced disease and present with a heart attack, with outright congestive heart failure, with arrhythmias, when in a sense they could have been prevented if they would have had preventive checks a lot earlier.
Right.
And hopefully when we do catch these things, they're not that far gone, but at times they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to maximize medical therapy to see if we can maybe try to revert things or at least stabilize things.
Right, right. And like, you know, I hear that, like, and we do know that certain heart disease, you know, could be genetic, family history, no
sure.
doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
But some, again, can be prevented.
Absolutely. So the preventable risk factors really range with the number one preventable risk factor is smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smoking is something that people electively partake in, and you know it's addictive and it's a habit, but they can actually, with some willpower, stop this and make a big change in not only their cardiovascular risk but their pulmonary and other risk of cancer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays probably just as common another preventable risk is obesity.
Right.
Not that there are some genetic predispositions, but in today's diet with ultra-processed foods, I mean, they're very calorie-dense foods, but very nutrient-poor foods. And it's contributing to obesity. And then along with that, you develop insulin resistance, which contributes to metabolic syndrome and outright diabetes mellitus, which is a big accelerator for vascular disease, both coronary and peripheral vascular and carotid artery disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And again, with routine checkups, right? Primary care services, yearly checkups, these things can be prevented.
It's very important. Like I said, a lot of these symptoms and signs are very insidious. I guess they don't really have, you know, again, a lot of people I treat are in denial about their blood pressure. I'm just here. I have white coat syndrome. Well, I even joke around. I say, well, today I'm wearing a sweater. I don't have a white coat on, and you know,
right.
And it's still elevated. But anyway, mm-hmm. I'm sure there is a subcategory, a subset of people that truly have white coat hypertension. Okay, but a lot of people are just in pure denial because there are no symptoms. I mean, and if your blood pressure is very low, you'll have symptoms.
Right.
Dizziness. If your blood pressure is very high, you might have symptoms. Okay, mm-hmm. But most times the people fall in between. Above the goal, they don't have symptoms and they're in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that could really go a long way if you would actually and meticulously, you know, monitor your blood pressure and treat it early. But one of the problems with that too is monitoring, because people take it at home, and you know, I don't fully trust a lot of these automated devices.
The home machines, right?
And a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, sometimes people, even in clinical settings, take it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cuffs are too small and the pressure is inflated way over the range it should be, and it causes spasm in the vessels and it causes it erroneously elevated blood pressure readings. So that's one of the things. So in defense, they might have a case there, because their blood pressure might truly be normal, but it might be some of it our fault. But in any mm-hmm. case, it's something to keep a really, really close watch on.
Right, exactly. And again, like, you know, of course we talk about eating healthy, exercise as well, right?
Very important. And I hear from people over and over again, oh, I'm working too many hours, I just don't have time for this, I have family commitments and whatnot. It doesn't have to be a marathon.
Right.
You know, I mean, is it 24 hours in a day? I think you could very easily fit in. I mean, even break it up into segments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, at lunchtime, if people get an hour lunch, that's way too much for me to
sit and eat.
I mean, you know, go, do a 15, 20 minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's bad weather outside, you know, walk around your facility, do the steps, time it for 15 minutes. I mean, that's 15 minutes in out of, you know, aim for an hour.
Right.
And then there's also, I'm a firm believer in high intensity exercise, you know, because if you fit that category, some people aren't conditioned enough or they may have other medical issues, but that can actually accomplish a lot more cardiovascular wise in a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are options, and you don't have to do an hour or jump into it with full force. You know, ease into it.
Right.
I tell people that have been sedentary for several years, I'll tell them, listen, I would rather you set a realistic goal. Walk for 5 minutes every day for a week. It might be easy, maybe it'll be hard. The next week, increase it by a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens at the end of a few months? You're walking 30, 45 minutes, which you weren't doing before. So these little tiny goals do go a long way, but it has to go down to consistency. Not
mm-hmm.
just, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. It's
right.
part of your daily, it's like getting up, drinking water, you know, eating. This has to be part of your ritual, your
right.
daily life. Yeah.
Right, daily routine.
Yes.
And you know, and especially, you know, with younger people, because again, heart disease doesn't start when we're 50. Yeah, we may see it more, right, over a certain age, or even 30 or 40. But, you know, when we do a school program and we used to do lab work, we'd see high cholesterol, high triglycerides
yeah.
in, you know, 10-year-olds,
right.
12-year-olds.
And that's another thing too, people, you know, people, a lot of people are so adverse to therapy, statins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And some, you know, they redefined the cholesterol goals. You see, years ago, before, say, 2018, we used to risk stratify people. So there was a little bit more leniency, you know, so if you were a low risk patient without vascular disease and minimal risk factors, your bad cholesterol, which is the LDL, that was acceptable up to 160,
right.
which I always thought was sort of too high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then when they redefined it, you know, under 100 back then was for people with established vascular disease and diabetics. Okay. Now they redefined it. Forget about the risks. Everyone,
hmm.
regardless of risk factors, should be under 100, which is a very aggressive recommendation.
Yes.
And the people with established vascular disease and diabetes should be under 70, probably under 55.
Wow.
So they really redefine things. But one of the biggest resistance factors I see is, I had it this morning in the clinic, oh, my cholesterol, I just was eating more around the holidays, but it's double what it should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you've been watching this for quite some time, so they're so adverse to statin therapy. But people have to think about it this way. So this cholesterol level is elevated for quite some time. You know, you have these lipids floating around in your bloodstream, and it's bathing your vessels, okay? It's bathing your vessels day in, day out, you know, every minute. It's just coursing through your vessels.
Right.
Now, because of other risks, genetic predispositions, right? Diabetes, because glycation products are a big contributor to atherosclerosis, smoking, all right? Everyone's vessel lining is not the same, okay? So my vessel lining may be different than yours, okay? Mine might be more resilient and resistant. Mm-hmm. I exercise every day and whatnot, okay? Others may have that predisposition, and when they're bathing in this high lipid environment and you have a combination of the right formula at the right time, you know, you have the blood pressure surges, you have sort of sheer stress in the vessels. Some people's anatomy might be different. They have takeoffs of the vessels that are a little angulated. A blood pressure surge, smoking causes what we call endothelial dysfunction. That innermost lining becomes dysfunctional. And then these plaques deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, they deposit, you develop fibrosis, inflammatory cells. And then these events just landslide over time. You know, those plaques could rupture and not cause a full-blown cardiac event, but they heal with scars. So it's something that happens over years, and you don't know this.
Right, because we don't have a picture inside of our body,
you don't
right?
You know this. So it's one of the recommendations now is they're getting so aggressive with lipid lowering,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was one of those people. Like, for 2-3 years, I was watching my cholesterol, watch my LDL, and I exercise 3 to 4 times a week. You know, I watch what I eat, you know. But my doctor finally said to me, you know, Carol, you got to do this. And I'm like, okay. And I get it,
right.
Because my father died of a massive heart attack.
Right.
You know.
And again, if this is the first time you were, so let me just break it down. If this is the first time you were diagnosed with an elevated LDL, right?
Right.
So, and just say it's 120, 130, you don't have established disease, you don't have high risk. I think it's certainly warranted to try diet and
mm-hmm.
lifestyle, okay?
Right.
Try it for 3-4 months and be true to yourself, be honest, okay? If you truly did it, and it really didn't come down or stay the same, that's a problem.
Right.
That's where statins come in. But if your LDL starts to get close to 200, okay, usually above 190,
mm-hmm.
that's usually genetic. There's a disorder called heterozygous familial hyperlipidemia.
I've heard of that, yes.
And that can actually really predispose to early heart disease. You know, when you start
mm-hmm.
to see levels, and I barely see this, but levels of 600, okay, that's homozygous familial hyperlipidemia. That's even worse. These people have cardiac events in their teens sometimes.
Wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's a big, big problem.
Right. Right.
And not even statins may treat that. You may need more advanced therapies like the monoclonal antibodies like Repatha or Praluent.
Right.
Yeah.
Which more advanced. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the information you shared is so beneficial to our listeners. But, you know, I would be dismiss if I didn't recognize that Wayne Memorial Hospital, we have our heart and vascular lab, right?
Yep.
We do, catheterizations
yes.
here. We have 2 great interventional cardiologists,
you're great.
Right?
Great guys, very experienced, very seasoned, and,
yep.
and wonderful people.
Right, right. And so if someone is experiencing a heart attack or even chest pain, right, the first thing they should do is come to emergency room.
Come to the ER because, again, you know, it may not be cardiac, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But chest pain, you know, it's in the vicinity of the heart. And, you know, some people, especially diabetics, may have sort of odd symptoms, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't hurt. I mean, the worst case scenario, you come in, you get an EKG, you
mm-hmm.
get, you know, you get some blood work. And it's not. So it's at least it's supportive of, hey, this is something
right.
else. Yeah.
Right. But I know here at Wayne Memorial, we save many people's
absolutely.
Lives
I see
because
that.
We have that.
I see that every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is programs available if someone does experience a heart attack, right? Our cardiac rehab program.
Sure. So after the patient gets through their initial event and they're stabilized and they're doing well with medical therapy, we should get them into cardiac rehab. Standard usually is 36 sessions, 3 days a week. And even some people may be reluctant to do that,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the people, almost all of them that go through it, they like it.
Right.
Because it gives them confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, think about this, you were in a normal state of health, and all of a sudden you had a heart attack. I never thought I would have a heart attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're thinking about yourself, right?
Right.
You do, now your whole life is turned upside down. You're afraid to do things. Oh my goodness, I'm afraid to do this, I'm afraid to go here, because what if I have another one, right?
Right.
The cardiac rehab is a confidence booster, you know. You're getting everything monitored, you're increasing your exercise capacity and duration, and at the end of those 3 months, a lot of people stay on board. They'll even pay out of pocket, and they'll, you know, they like it so much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's a great way to get back to life and to build confidence.
Right. And we have a great team here at Wilmer Memorial Hospital, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah, absolutely.
We always have. It's been going on for over 30 years, and really, they're just an amazing team. So, you know, Dr. Loretti, can you believe we're just about out of time?
Wow.
If someone needs a cardiologist, sometimes, yes, their primary care provider will refer them. But if not, is there a phone number here that they can call for more information?
Yes, they can call 570-253-8601.
Right, and that's our physician specialty service.
Yes.
Dr. Loretti, thank you so much for being on
the show
today. Really, the information you provided for our community, I think it's just wonderful.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And again, this is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.